I need hand-eye coordination for this homily, and I learned from my last parish. This is the same one I gave when I left my last parish, so I learned the hard way the chasuble just gets in the way. So, being my final weekend at the parish, the message that I have to offer today is, let's call it the Father Justin version of the theology of goodbye. I shared with the school kids, I want to say it was All Souls Day, for a school mass, I shared with them a few videos from my very favoritist TV show, Joan of Arcadia. Love it to pieces. I am not showing the video today. I am done with those screens. And I'm proud to say that. But for those of you that weren't at that mass or just don't know what I'm talking about, Joan of Arcadia, it was, you know, maybe 12 years ago or something like that. Joan is a high school teenage girl living in the town of Arcadia. So Joan of Arcadia. And God literally visits her and helps her through these tumultuous teenage years. And God is always a different person. So Joan never knows when God is going to visit her next. So that's the general premise of the show. It made it two seasons. The second season was considerably darker, more complicated, more complex. And so one thing is, you have to understand, Joan is a good girl. She has her problems. If Joan was your daughter, she'd be the sort of daughter you wouldn't worry all that much about. However, she has a friend, her own age, who is a little rougher around the edges. And this friend of hers got mixed up with drugs and the dangerous people that come along with drugs. So in somewhere well into the second season, this friend dies. She presumably dies of a drug overdose, something completely tragic and unnecessary. So Joan winds up at, you know, whatever, the scene of the crime or something, and she's completely beside herself. You know, obviously, who wouldn't be? And at that time, God visits her again. Sometimes God is very notable in the form he takes. This time, he's actually a pretty ordinary-looking middle-aged man holding three juggling balls. And Joan, when she figures out it's God, just starts unloading on him. You know, like God, why did this have to happen? I mean, why couldn't I have been there for? I could have done something, and just completely unloading on him. God doesn't answer the question. Instead, he talks as if he didn't hear her in the first place and says, Joan, a traveler is walking down the road. He weighs 195 pounds. He gets to a bridge with a stress level of 200 pounds. If 200 pounds or more are on the bridge will collapse. Joan's not really paying attention, and she keeps going, and she was so young, God, and we tried to warn her, and her parents knew this was happening, and still the worst thing happened. Again, God doesn't take the bait and continues talking about his little story and says, so Joan, this 195-pound traveler comes upon a 200-pound bridge, but he also has three golden apples, and each apple weighs 2 pounds. How does the traveler get across the bridge? Still, Joan does not take the bait and keeps saying, and God, there's just so much pain, there's so much hardship in the world, and I just don't understand any of this, yada, yada, yada. Finally, God goes, Joan, how does the traveler get across the bridge? And finally, Joan has it. She snatches the balls from God. Not a good idea, in my opinion. And she takes the balls and goes, I get it, God, I get it. He juggles. Everyone knows that stupid riddle. What does that have to do with anything? And God, perfectly calm, because he's God, takes the balls back from Joan and says, Joan, you are the traveler. And the bridge is your life. And the three golden apples are everything you've ever experienced, everything you've ever learned, and everyone you've ever met. And if you take all of that and clutch it close to your chest and refuse to let any of it go, the bridge is going to collapse. It is too much weight to bear. It is too heavy. How do you get across the bridge? You juggle. You let go of a few things at a time, knowing that they'll come back to you when the time is right. And that is how you get past the bridge. You liked that one, didn't you? Thank you. My last church did not clap for me, and I did not deserve applause. It's really hard to juggle in a chasuble. I probably should have practiced before Mass. So I learned this time. Anyway, I dearly love that story. I love the imagery of it all. I love the idea of juggling as a kind of letting go, but knowing that things return in their time. And this is important because, you know, for all the people out there who struggle with their religion or just have issues with God in general, a lot of them have a huge problem with letting go, all right? Thy will be done is a very difficult phrase for a lot of people. And I firmly believe that a big old whopper of the problem is because when people hear that, let go, people think of dropping the ball on the ground where it is never picked up, it is abandoned, it is never taken up again. And it's only natural to be against that. People naturally do not want to permanently throw away something that is good. And you know, God asks us a lot to let things go. It's one of his catchphrases. If you think about it, though, God never asks us to let go of an inherently bad thing. All right? We never hear that we're supposed to let go of beating up our sister. You know, you're not supposed to let go of your pickpocketing habit. We have other words for that. If you have a genuinely bad habit like shoplifting, we talk about conquering that part of yourself, not letting it go. Generally, when we hear let it go, God is talking about a good thing, or at least a partially good thing. We're meant to let go of always being in control, to let go of our desire to be the one who gets to fix everything, letting go of being the center of attention, and even letting go of the people you really like being around, because in the end, you don't own them. We can talk about all of that, but with that metaphor of juggling in our minds, we're not letting these things go forever. We're loosening our grip for a little while, knowing that it will return to us at the proper time. That is the theology of goodbye. So from this day forward, I'm going to start juggling you. Metaphorically, not literally. The problem with juggling babies is there's no appropriate way to practice. I'm going to juggle you. You're going to juggle me. But we are going to remember and understand that it is a part of our faith that nothing good in this life is ever truly lost. Therefore, whenever we say goodbye, whether it be at a farewell party or a funeral, any goodbye is automatically a temporary thing. We let go of things and people knowing it will return at the proper time. That was the knowledge one, so I can just kick that away. Actually, the people was the yellow one, so tossing that. There we go. Okay, now it's real. We let things go, knowing that they'll return at the proper time, whether that be later in this life or in the one that is yet to come.